Bridge City Church, North Brattle. How are you doing this Labor Day Sunday morning? Yeah. On one hand, summer is over. But on the other hand, football season has begun. Can somebody say amen? Amen. It's good to be with you this morning. If we haven't had a chance to meet yet, my name is Pastor John. I am the campus pastor here at Bridge City Church North Braddock. I emphasize the North Braddock piece because North Braddock is one of four campuses that are all one church. And so right now, all across the city of Pittsburgh, there are Bridge City Church campuses meeting and worshiping God. That's exciting. I like that. And so we are thankful that you are here with us today. And today is kind of a special day because we just finished a several month long series through the book of Joshua called Courageous Faith. 12 weeks all summer. It was awesome. And next Sunday, we're going to be kicking off our next sermon series called The Fear of God. I figured I'd take advantage of it. But today is special because today is what we like to call standalone messages. And so typically at all four of our locations, we're all preaching the same message coming out of different microphones, if you will. And so today we get the opportunity just to hear something that I feel like God has been placing on my heart, not just for our campus and not just for our church, but really I believe that this is a call. Just my electric personality there. I believe that this is a call for the body of Christ. How many of you know that the church is not a building? Right? Amen. How many of you know that Bridge City Church is not the church? It's a part of the church. The church being all believers, all followers of Jesus for all time. Right? Since the beginning of the church 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost, all over the globe. And one of the things that the Bible clearly states about the church is that it is the body of Christ. And in passages like 1 Corinthians 12, we see how the body of Christ is like our body, and each one of our bodies have different parts. How many of you are glad that your lungs are not on the outside of your body this morning? Right? That's good news, because it would be bad news if it was. How many of you are glad that your lungs decided that they were going to respirate this morning? Anybody else? Right? It's your breath in our lungs, right? And so in the same way, the body of Christ has parts and pieces, and each one of us make up a part. And so this morning I want to talk about, the title of the message is this, the vitality of finding your place in the body. The vitality of finding your place, your function in the body of Christ. Because if our body parts aren't in the right place doing what they're supposed to do, we have a problem, don't we? And in a similar fashion, if we were to lose a body part, right? We would be upset. Now, even though I need my lungs more than I need my pinky finger, I would be upset if you tried to take my pinky finger from me. Actually, you might catch the other fingers if you feel what I'm saying. But nevertheless, we are a body, and God has a place for each and every one of us in his body. And so I want to talk about that this morning because I believe that a lot of followers of Jesus miss out on the depth and the true vitality that comes from being not just connected to Jesus, but being in the right place in Jesus. Are you with me this morning? John chapter 15, Jesus says that he is the vine, and he's using an illustration of a grapevine, and we as his followers are the branches. And so each and every one of us is connected to Jesus, but we have a place in him where that life-giving sap of the Holy Spirit that he delivers to us will flow when we're in the right place doing what we're supposed to be doing. Because I'd be surprised if I was the only person in the room that's ever felt out of place somewhere. Anybody ever feel out of place? Just kind of feel off, right? You feel like you can't function just right. See, and for me, I've always felt out of place before I knew Jesus. So if you can't tell, some of you are probably wondering, I am biracial. My father was black, my mother is white. I am a African American. Some of you have heard this, I'm gonna say it anyway because I own the trademark on it. I've also told people I'm an Israelite because I is real light. But nevertheless, here's the reality of it, because we live in a day and age, we live in a time where the enemy would love to pit us against people of different levels of melanin than us and tell us that we're somehow different and that we're somehow opposed to one another. How many of you know that when God created everything in the earth, he made the birds according to their kinds, the fish according to their kinds, the crawling things, the animals, the plants, he made all of them according to their kinds. But when it came to humankind, he only made one kind, mankind, and we have all descended from that one man and that one woman. So we are all the same, no matter what we look like in the mirror. But for me growing up, that was difficult because I was always too white for the black kids and too white for the black kids, too black for the white kids. I got racism on both sides, fam, so don't act like one is more racist than the other. We're all born in sin, and racism is just an evidence of sin in our lives, and that's why Jesus Christ is the only one that can fix the racism problem. And that's why it's important to do what the New Testament says, to be found in Christ, in him, so that all of the other defining and demarcating aspects of my character and being literally get absorbed and disappear into him. So I'm not black, I'm not white, I'm not male, I'm not female. I am in Christ. And so it's vitally important for us to find our place in Christ so that we can experience the vitality that comes from being in him. Are you with me this morning? And so today I'd like to look at a little known passage of scripture. So if you have your Bible, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to the book of Leviticus. You're like, Levitical, what? Chapter 10. For many of you, this might be the first message you have ever heard out of the book of Leviticus. You're welcome. But nevertheless, in Leviticus chapter 10, we see God, all through the book of Leviticus, giving the people of Israel the regulations on how they are to worship him, on how they are to properly interact with him. Now, this is in the Old Testament. This is before Jesus. So there are types and shadows, the Bible says, that point us to the reality of Christ, which was yet to come for the people in the book of Leviticus. But now that we're on the other side of the cross, we can look back to these things and see things that God was trying to communicate. And so in the book of Leviticus, he's trying to communicate, this is what relationship with me looks like. Because one of the things that's hurting the body of Christ, especially in America right now, is we think that we individually get to determine what our relationship with Jesus looks like. You somehow thought you were in charge after submitting yourself to the King of the universe. That's foolishness. If you've really given yourself to the King of the universe, you have to accept that you are not in charge anymore. And until you fully accept that, you won't fully get to enjoy the life-giving flow that comes from Jesus. You might enjoy trickles of it. You might enjoy seasons of it. But God has called us into relationship with him so that we can enjoy it not only every moment of every day, but it is an eternal flow of vitality that gets better and better and better with each and every passing moment that we participate in it. And so we have to look back at passages of scripture like this to help us to really get the emphasis of what God wants us to get. And so here in Leviticus chapter 10, we see where God is setting up how to operate within his temple. Because back then, actually, it wasn't even a temple yet. It was a tabernacle. It was like a portable tent, and everything in it had a specific meaning, and all of the priests that served in it had specific roles and functions. And so this communicates something to us. And so I'm going to start reading Leviticus chapter 10. I'm going to read the first three verses out of the English Standard Version. Let's see where the Lord will take us from here. Now, Nadab and Abihu, The sons of Aaron, now I want to give you a little backdrop there. Aaron is Moses' brother. Most of us have heard of Moses. Moses is the human leader of Israel. He's God's chosen leader. And God chose his brother Aaron to be his first high priest. Because Israel had 12 tribes. And God selected one of those 12 tribes to be a tribe of priests. It's the tribe of Levi, hence the name of the book, Leviticus. And so Aaron and Moses are from the tribe of Levi, but Aaron is chosen to be the high priest. And then all of his descendants, all of his family members are lesser priests, if you will, and they all have specific functions as it pertains to connecting and worshiping a God. Because back then, only certain people could be priests. And a priest's responsibility was to minister the will and word of God to the people and to minister the needs and different things that the people have to God. So they were kind of an intermediary. Fun fact about Christianity, the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 2 says that all of us who are believers are priests now. So I don't have a more special function or role than you. I just have a different one. But you have a role that is just as important as my role. You'll probably notice there are men around the back. They're keeping safety, security, and order in and around the property. And they all have the same shirt on. That's our usher team. Their role is no more or less important than my role. But if they don't do their job, or if I don't do my job, Jesus isn't glorified and the Holy Spirit doesn't get to minister to us. And so that's why it's so important for us to get this. So we see that these two gentlemen, Nadab and Abihu, they're the sons of Aaron the high priest. And each one took his censer. Now a censer, and some of you that have grown up in certain Christian traditions, it's like a little pot, a metal thing, and you would put like coals or fire of some kind, and you put incense in the censer. And so one of the priest's jobs, specifically the high priest, was to take a censer, fill it with coals and fire, put incense on it, and kind of wave it. And that was one of the ways that you would have to interact with God. And so Nadab and Abihu, they each took their censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it. And watch this, offered unauthorized fire before the Lord. Some translations say strange fire. I actually think that that's a better translation. And we'll unpack that a little bit here in a minute. But ultimately, this was fire that was not supposed to be offered to God. And I'll explain where that comes from. And not only did they offer unauthorized fire before the Lord, they did that which he had not commanded them. Because as we'll see later in Leviticus 16, and we won't turn there today, but you can look there later, only Aaron, the high priest, was supposed to offer incense before the Lord. So not only did they offer something to God that was the wrong thing, right? They put themselves in the position of someone else that they weren't supposed to fill. So they did something for God. Watch this. They were well-meaning in their intent. They were trying to do something. They wanted to minister before the Lord, but they did something that God had not commanded them, and they did something that God said, that's not how you do it. And I see a lot of that in the body of Christ, and we're going to talk about that. But they offered strange fire. And they put themselves in the position of someone that they weren't supposed to be in. Verse 2. And fire came out from before the Lord, or some translations say from the presence of the Lord. So I want you to picture, if you will, the tabernacle, the tent of God. There's an Ark of the Covenant. It's behind this really super thick curtain in a special room called the Holy of Holies. And that's where God's presence would dwell and manifest, if you will. And so fire came out from there and consumed them, i.e. burned them up to a crisp. And they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord has said. Among those who are near me, I will be sanctified. And before all the people, I will be glorified, and Aaron held his peace. And so we see something happening here. We see two men who, even in their heart of hearts, were very well-meaning in what they were wanting to do. They did something that not only was dishonorable to God or that God didn't honor, and they did it in a way that it wasn't their job to do. And because of that, they lost their life. Now, many of us will navigate through our lives doing things, even in God's service, that God doesn't want us to do. How many of you know God doesn't want me fussing with my wife? He doesn't want that. He doesn't want me operating out of anger and rage. He doesn't want me living in certain kind of ways. And so there's a reality where I will, even in service of God, do things, but I'm doing them in a way that not only doesn't honor God, but God doesn't honor. And I may not get burnt up with fire from the presence of the Lord, but here's what I can guarantee you. When you're operating your life that way, you will lose your spiritual vitality. How many of you know that there is more than the mundane humdrum of life if you're a follower of Jesus? There is a vitality to be had, a supernatural vitality that only comes from, as Tyler said during communion, connection to the one true God. And I believe that God has miracles, signs, wonders, breakthrough. I believe that God has joy unspeakable and full of glory, peace that transcends all understanding, that is accessible to us 24/7, 365, 366 on a leap year, if we could just honor him in the right way and find our right position in him. Because we lose vitality when we try to do things we're not supposed to be doing, in the sense of where we serve, or do things that we're not supposed to be doing in how we conduct and live our lives. That's what cost Nadab and Abihu their lives. That's why they lost their vitality. And listen to me, guys. I want you to catch this. God didn't just take these men's lives out of anger. God wants the loss of these two men's lives to serve as a stark reminder that when you serve me in ways that don't honor me, and when you put yourself in positions where you're not supposed to be, you will lose your spiritual vitality. So we're going to talk about some of these things real quick. And the first thing I want to talk about is this strange fire. What does it mean, strange fire? Well, it means that they offered something to God that was not of God. They offered something to God that wasn't of him. Look back, if you will, to the last two verses of Leviticus chapter 9. So these are the verses right before Leviticus 10. Because how many of you know chapters and verses weren't in the Bible? Those were. If anything was added to the Bible after the canon was closed, it was chapters and verses so that stupid people like me could figure out where stuff was. But right before this, we see something important. We see this, the depth and the understanding of this idea of strange fire. Because Leviticus chapter 9, verses 23 and 24 says, "And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting." So the guys that were supposed to be in there, they went in there. And when they came out, they blessed the people. Because here's a beautiful reminder. When you are in the right place doing what you are supposed to be doing, people get blessed. Let me tell you something. If I decided, and I just want to take a moment right now, Eric and Sandra Stinnett are bringing forth their third child, Zachariah, into the earth right now. The message came in late last night. Christine was still up because I hit the pillow, and she's like, "What are you going to do?" I said, "Well, no one's texted." Oh, I love this. This is such a great example. No one's texted me, so I know everything's okay. Because when you have the right people in the right places doing what they know they're supposed to be doing, I don't have to worry about it, right? My feet don't have to worry about what my lungs are doing as long as my lungs are in the right place doing what they're supposed to be doing. Now, here's the other side. I could have came in here today and tried to lead worship, and none of y'all would have been blessed. The only person that would have been blessed is the Lord. He'd have put his earplugs in and just said, "That's my son. Oh, bless his heart. He's trying so hard." I did only say a joyful noise, so really he's meeting the bare minimum qualifications. But see, when we're in the right place doing the right thing, people get blessed. And so we see Moses and Aaron. They're the right people in the right place doing what they're supposed to be doing. And they came out and blessed the people. And watch this. And the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Because here's the other side. When people are in the right place doing the right thing, not only are the people blessed, but God gets glorified. See, that is foreign. That is foreign to the American church in the 21st century. That we have forgotten that this is not about you and me. This is not about how you feel. This is not about whether or not you like the music or like the pastor or like the person sitting next to you. It's about glorifying Jesus Christ, the King of the universe. This has nothing to do with you, but everything to do with you. Because if you can just tap into that, oh my gosh. See, some of us live our lives like one of those five below charger cords. How many of you got iPhones? Just raise your hand up. Come on. If you're around somebody that didn't raise their hand, I want you to take the hand that you raised and lay it on that Android person and just pray for them. Pray that a spirit of wisdom and revelation would come upon them. Pray that their phone doesn't explode into flames in their pocket. But Apple done lost their mind because they've created a product that everybody wants, everybody has, and now they're like, ha ha, gotcha. And so their chargers, the Apple-approved chargers, are mad expensive. But then we just go into Five Below because we're all cheap. We're all trying to make it in the world. And we see, look, not only is it an iPhone charger, it's 12 feet long. Apples are like this big. I can't even put that on my nightstand. So we buy the Five Below charger, and what happens? Unauthorized device unlocked to use. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Or you plug it in. Look, we literally, it's so mind-boggling to me, because in the last week and a half, two of them janky controllers or janky chargers cut out on us. So I'm sitting there trying to play my little game on the phone, and I'm losing battery. See, and that's how many of us are living our lives connected with Christ. We're connected, but not fully, because we have the wrong accessories. So there's not a complete connection. And one of those reasons is because we're offering strange fire before the Lord. Because look, God got glory, people got blessed, verse 24, and fire came out from before the Lord or from the presence of the Lord. Does that sound familiar? And consumed not people, but the offering that they had put on the altar. And one of the things that I love the most about this passage, because it's a shadow and a type that carries throughout the New Testament, there had not been fire on God's altar until that moment. And so this idea of strange fire is because the fire that priests were supposed to offer was fire that came from the presence of the Lord, not from themselves. Now, there are people in this room right now, you are serving the Lord in your own strength. And it's like that, sometimes there's a charge, but sometimes there's not. And I know when I'm doing that, because the charge, and then it's something Pastor Rick calls the grumble strips. Right? How many of you drive on the road and they got them little vroom, vroom on the side? They're called rumble strips. And they're to let you know, hey, you're veering off the road. You're about to wreck. Well, in spiritual service, there's these things called the grumble strips. And it's not a vroom, 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 but it's like, I'm just tired of doing this. Look at all these people. They don't do anything else, and I'm doing everything. You start grumbling. You start complaining. See, we're serving the Lord in our own strength. But then there's a whole other grouping of people who you live your life the way you want to live it, doing what you want to do, doing things that are not of God, then serve God and expect fire to fall on your offering because it's a blessing, but actually it saps you of your spiritual vitality because you're bringing something strange to God that's not of Him. This is why we have to address sin in the body. Not so we can call people out, because we're all sinners till Jesus saves us. But see, as we talked about in our Courageous Faith series, when sin gets in the camp, it causes the loss of life. Now, in the Old Testament, it physically caused people and their family to die. It caused Nadab and Abihu to die, guys. But on this side of the cross, we don't necessarily die, but we're not getting the fullness of that vitality that comes from being connected to Jesus because we're offering things to God that are not of God. I'm gonna live my life the way I want to live it, but then act like I'm still gonna serve God. You are robbing yourself of spiritual vitality when you do that. You're offering strange fire to the Lord. Because here's the thing. A lot of times we want to offer God things that we think he should accept. You know who else did that? Cain, back in Genesis chapter 4. Abel brought the best. Cain just brought some stuff. And then he had the audacity to get mad at God because God didn't look with favor on his offering. And it caused Cain so much inner turmoil and trauma that it led him to murder his own brother. How many of us are killing the people around us because we're getting mad because God's not looking on our offering with favor because we're offering something to him that doesn't honor him? I'm gonna sleep with who I want, when I want, how I want, whether I'm married to him or not, but I'm gonna love Jesus. Look, I'm not here to throw you under the bus. I'm just saying you're robbing yourself of spiritual vitality. I'm gonna buy into godless worldly philosophies, political ideologies on both sides of the aisle, and think that God is gonna bless it. Look, we have one God, one King, one Lord, Jesus Christ. And because of that, we have one glorious hope for the future. And when we step outside of honoring him and glorifying him in everything that we do, we not only refuse to bring him glory, but we miss out on the vitality that he has for us. And I want the fullness of the life that Jesus died to give me. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25 says this: there's a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it's death. How many of us right now in our heart of hearts, we know both unsaved before we knew Jesus and after we've known Jesus, we've lived our lives in ways and we've seen the calamity and death that comes from it. We've seen how it affects not only our life and our spiritual vitality, but the life and spiritual vitality of the people that are around us. See, God wants to bless the world, and he wants to bless the world through us, but we've got to get it here first. We can't offer strange fire to God. Because as the great prophet Mike Tomlin says, the standard is the standard. I'm already in football season. Just bear with me. Just hope to God a Star Wars movie or something doesn't come out and you're going to get all the references. I'm like, geez, Aloo. But the standard is the standard. That is not to put anyone down. Listen to me. Addressing realities in our life where we're not honoring God is not to put anyone down. It's to call us up to the higher standard. That is one of the things that I tell my children, mainly my son, because he gets outside of his character and starts acting like his dad used to act, like a rage monster. And I tell him, you're acting below your station. You are called and held to a higher standard than this. See, we shouldn't be asking, why do I have to meet all of these standards to serve God? A lot of people say that. Because here at Bridge City Church, we have a high standard. Because we have a high God. He actually happens to be the most high God. And so the question isn't, why do I have to meet all of these standards to serve God? The real question should be, why wouldn't you want to meet all of these standards to serve God? Why wouldn't you want to give your everything to serve Jesus? He's a holy and righteous God. See, the real question of Christian discipleship isn't what can I hold on to, but what can I give up in order to tap into this supernatural vitality that I have in Jesus. And many of us, maybe some of us even in this room right now, are trying to hold on to strange fire in our lives and wonder why we're not experiencing the fullness of the blessing of Christ. Let it go. It's not worth it. Jesus, when he called his disciples, he literally said to drop your nets. And for those disciples, they were fishermen. That meant give up how you make money. Give up your identity. Give up your family heritage. Because if you were a fisherman, that meant your daddy was a fisherman. That meant his daddy was a fisherman. That meant his daddy's 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 daddy was a fisherman. Jesus was saying, give up your identity to follow me. And many of us thought we could follow Jesus and keep the parts we wanted to keep. And then we struggle with, why am I not experiencing the fullness of spiritual vitality in my life? John chapter 1 verse 4 says, in him, in Jesus was life, and that life was the light of men. There are a lot of men and women and children who have no light or life because they haven't found their place in him. You have to find your position in Christ. Because it's not just about being in this room from 10 a.m. to 11:15, 11:30 a.m. every Sunday. It's about finding your place in him. The Apostle Paul says this in Philippians chapter 3. He said, I consider all of my earthly accomplishments skubalon. And that's a Greek word. Some translations say dung, but it's actually a Greek word more akin to the S word for poo-poo. Are you checking with me this morning? He said, I consider all of that bleep compared to the surpassing grace of knowing him and being found in him. What parts of your life are you holding on to that is keeping you from entering into what is truly, fully life? The second thing we see from these two men, Nadab and Abihu, is they were out of position. And I think that that's one. If you're in church on Labor Day Sunday morning, you're doing good, right? Normally, actually, here's what we do in America, because this is how far we've drifted from this. Well, the summer slump is coming, because sports take priority, vacation takes priority, and I get it. I'm not condemning it. I'm just saying the word priority, the root word for that word is prior. Prior means that which comes before. And the question is, in your priority, what comes before God? Trust me, because here's the thing. I didn't go to church on the Sunday I was on vacation, but I couldn't wait to get back. And Labor Day, I mean, well, you know, we got to get that last. So I'm not knocking it. It's just the reality. But here's the thing, guys. Here's the thing. Here's what I'm trying to say. It's not about church attendance. It's about being in him in such a way that there is life and joy and power in your life. That even when you aren't in the building, you're still in the right place. That's the goal. That's the point. And so we see Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Talking about the body of Christ and how each part is to be fitted and held together, building itself up in love. See, and this is important because Nadab and Abihu, they wanted to serve God with their whole hearts, but they tried to do something that they were not appointed to do. The same if I came in here and tried to lead you in worship. Not only am I not appointed to do that, I ain't skilled to do that. And I want to tell you something. There is nothing I love more than cleaning up the church. Oh, I love it. Setting up chairs, because that's how I got my start in ministry. See, a lot of people want to look up here and say, I want to be the pastor. I want to be in charge. No, you don't. Trust me, fam, you don't. Demons used to visit me in my home. They don't do it anymore, but that's what happens. But nevertheless, I want you to catch this. It's about finding where you fit. Because when you find that place, when you're fitted and held together in him, now things get built up in love. Oh my gosh. Could you imagine right now if both of your eyeballs were like, we want to be fingers. Yeah. We met together at the nose and we just said, you know what? We don't want to be eyes anymore. We don't want to see. We don't like seeing. We would rather grab things and touch things and do all that fun stuff. So we're just not going to be eyeballs anymore. Not only would you be blind, but with eyeballs for hands, you wouldn't be able to touch or grab anything either. And so we have to be in the right position in him. And that's why we have things called next steps. Which coincidentally, is happening right after the worship experience, like literally like 10 minutes from now. Next Steps is going to be going on. You're like, what's Next Steps? Next Steps is a way that you can not only find out more about the church, but even more importantly, find out more about yourself so that you can find where you fit, not just in the body of Christ, but in the world. Because here's the thing I love the most. When people find their place in Christ, all of the other things get to benefit and be blessed because they're in the right place in Jesus. And so now whatever your vocation is, you're blessed at work and your work is blessed because you found your right place in Christ. You're a better husband, a better father, a better mother, a better daughter, a better sister, a better spouse. You're better at being a neighbor. Why? Because you're in the place where there is a legit connection with the vitality that comes from heaven so that you can be a blessing and be blessed just like God promised Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. That's why we have to find our place in him. Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 through 4, and I'm going to have Caden come on up here to close this out. It says this, for you have died. See, American Christianity has made it about you. And it grosses me out. The Bible says you have died. You don't exist anymore. Why? Because your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Which is far better. Oh, it's so far better. I remember what it was like trying to live up to an identity that wasn't mine. Trying to be a gangster. Trying to be a tough guy. Inside, I know I'm not any of those things. Trying to be black, trying to be white, trying to be this, trying to be that, when I found myself in Jesus Christ, I became so blessed. When I found myself in him who is my life. Because verse 4 says, when Christ who is your life. There's an old song that used to go, my life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. See, that's the heart. God, where do I fit? One of the most exciting things that's happened in the last couple of days is right now, my daughter, who just graduated from Bridge City Kids, and now she's a Bridge City student, so that means there are certain ministry roles and teams that she can participate in. She didn't waste any time. She's back in the nursery right now helping to disciple my 9-month-old and any of the other kids 4 and under because she knows where she fits. There's another person training in nursery. My wife just got a call from someone else, and I'd like to get into that. There are people finding their place all over the place. See, Next Steps helps us connect to it, so it's not just an assimilation thing. It's how we on-ramp into the connection of vitality in our life by serving Jesus in the church and in the world. But we got to find the right position. And the right position is in Christ. Because here's the thing. When he appears, we appear with him in glory. You want glory for your life? Disappear. Allow yourself to dissolve into the fabric that is Jesus, and then glory will show up in your life. Because when we find our purpose in him, we'll stop trying to find our purpose in anything else. Maybe you came in here today and you're trying to find your purpose, your enjoyment, in your vocation, your education, your relationships, the fun that you have and the things that you own. It just doesn't seem to be clicking. Can I tell you, could you trust me for a minute? I promise you, if you get yourself fully connected to Jesus, not only will you find your purpose in true life, all of those other things that you're looking for purpose and meaning and enjoyment in, they'll click into place too. You'll find your fulfillment and joy in your vocation, in your possessions. You know, one of the greatest joys I find in my possessions, especially my money, because I didn't have any before and I don't have much now, but the greatest joy, I love to give it away. I literally love to give it away. I love to honor God with that. I've never been happier in my life. I find vitality when I serve Jesus. It's not just about a job for me. The moments that are most meaningful to me is when I get to sit down at a Denny's with my brother Davon and sit across the table at 6:30 in the morning and just talk about life. Get to do life together. Getting to pour into people's lives who want to go after Jesus with their whole heart. Man, that's where I find my life. That's where I find my joy. That's where I find my vitality. And maybe you're here today and you've been missing out on that vitality. You're like, I want to find that in my life. Well, can I encourage you right now? First and foremost, stop offering strange fire to God. And secondly, find your right position in Him. Because maybe that's getting into next steps right at the end of the worship experience today. Maybe for some of you, because all of us need it, but some of you, this is what you need. Next Sunday, our connection group kickoff, you're gonna hear all about it here in a few minutes. But it's not if you're gonna go to a group, it's what group are you gonna be in? Because it's not just about being in a small group, it's about finding where you click and fit so that the charge can flow through, so that you can live life on 100% battery, because that's what Jesus died to give you. If you're a man over 13 years old, then for some of you, it could be getting to our Overcomer Men's Conference. There's still time to sign up. You missed the discounted time period, but you know what? It's still worth the investment. And if you're a lady, there's overflow coming up in a month. But it's not just about churchy things. It's about finding where you click and fit and flow and function so that the life-giving flow of Jesus can not only flow in your life, but through your life and out into the world around you, so the world can be blessed by Jesus, our Lord. So right now, here's the questions I have for you, and then I'm out of your way. First, is what you're bringing to God worthy of Him? Not just in your service, because some of you might not even be clicked in somewhere yet. Some of you might need to be more involved. But some of you might be involved or might not be involved, but you're bringing things to Him in your life that are not of Him. And so the question isn't, are you a good person or a bad person? The question is what you're bringing to Jesus worthy of Him? The second question, are you operating in a function outside of your intended design? Or are you trying to be something like Nadab and Abihu? They tried to be something that they weren't, and it burnt them up, cost them their vitality. Are you trying to be something that you're not, not just in the church, but in the world around you? And lastly, here's the question. Are you in or are you out? Are you in God's service or are you on the outside looking in? Because like I said, 1 Peter 2 says, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're a priest, you have a role and a function in the body. But if you're not, in the body, that's the first step you need to take to connect to that vitality. And so, you're here right now and you say, I'm not connected to Jesus. Not in a saving way. Not in a life-giving way. But I want to be connected to Him. I want to know Him as the forgiver of my past and the leader to my future. I want to receive Him as Savior and Lord. If that's you and you've never done that, I just want you to take a step of faith and be courageous and say, I want to take that step. I want to know what it's like to have that kind of life. I want to know that. Amen. I want to know that vitality. Can I tell you something? I never knew what life was until I served Jesus. And now I'm just like, bro, it's on. And I'm so glad you came on Labor Day. And I hope you're glad too. I'm gonna invite my friend, one of our church elders. I'm glad, you know what? Because here's the thing. I don't know that I can do what this man of God does. And so I just admire what he does. I just get to step back and say, man, what a great thing. You can come on over. I'm talking good about you. I get to admire how he's a husband, how he's a father, and say, thank God that that is a part of our body. So thank you, Tyler. Thank you for being who you are.
Amen. Let's give it up for Pastor John.